accuser. Let him confront me. It is the sovereign Lord who helps me. Who will condemn me? In the New Testament lesson from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the Holy Gospel is written in Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Here ends the Holy Gospel for this day. Time then is going images of courage and boldness. Image of people working on the front lines, attending to people who have been tested for or have tested positive for the coronavirus. People serving in the medical field and other first responders. And they knowingly and willingly go into places that could possibly contaminate them. They go because it's their job, it's their calling, what they know they need to do to serve others. Every day we see them on the news and we hear stories of sacrifice. People serving and working hours and hours and hours to the point of physical and also emotional exhaustion. Just watching some of the news reports that I have recently as they, again, focus on some of these people just tirelessly giving of themselves. And your hearts go out to them. And we honor them, we pray for them, we thank them. And we do. Thank you to those of you who are serving in so many ways right on the line. You know, it's one thing to have something happen to you unexpectedly. It's another thing to walk into it knowing what could happen. But what about walking into something knowing what will happen? Walking in knowing that you will die. Today's Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week. And I can't help but see illustrative connections between the frontline workers today and the ride Jesus chose to take. Intentionally going in. This week is unlike any other week in the church year. For Jesus, it was about focus and determination and intention. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Jerusalem and die. That's what Jesus' journey was about from the very beginning. He came to be the Savior. He came to be your Savior. This week is about love. It's about sacrifice. It's about service. If you ever doubt God's love for you, Immerse yourself in Holy Week. If you ever doubted, this week will reveal to you in the most personal of ways God's love for you in a very special way. And the New Testament lesson for today helps us to better understand the attitude and motive behind the ride referenced in the gospel lesson for today in Matthew chapter 21. If you had to pick a word to use from Paul's letter there in Philippians 2 from our New Testament reading to describe how Christ was able to do what he did, it would be the word attitude. If you back up a couple verses from where our reading began to verses 3 and 4, we read this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the other. Selfish ambition, self-importance, self-centeredness. See, the inclination of our sinful human nature is not to humility. It's not to love and service, but to selfishness. But Paul points his readers and us to the greatest example of love and sacrifice and service there ever was, and also the source for us to have the strength to do those things, and that's Christ. The only way Jesus was going to get to the cross was to consider the interests of others, as it says in verse 4. As we go through some points this morning, notice how opposite they are from the way we are conditioned to think and act. Jesus shows us the right attitude. First, Jesus let go of his natural status. It says there that Jesus was in very nature God. And he did not consider that equality something to hold on to. Instead of climbing the ladder of achievement, he climbed down the ladder. He became downwardly mobile. He took on human flesh. He started at the top and went down deliberately because he was not ambitious for himself, but for God, his Father, and for us. It's kind of why I chose the title that we have today for our message: the boldest descent ever taken, or it could be the boldest ride ever taken. The second attitude is Jesus let go of his social status. Equal with God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and yet he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. We'll call it reverse social climbing. Down again the ladder, the social ladder, and demoted himself. It says he emptied himself. He emptied himself of the full use of his divinity and power. As one person put it, he put his crown on the shelf. He became like every other human being, lower in fact than most. From his birth to the lack of earthly possessions. I was thinking back, you know, one of probably the greater lessons I was ever taught early on was never ask or expect anyone to do what you're not willing to do. And better yet, do it with them. Lessons taught as I was a camp counselor for 4 years. Again, the way we serve and the way we share our lives. I learned it definitely as a custodian working in a really large church when I was in school. Learned it again working alongside some very special people on so many of our inner city trips. Just the gift and what it means to serve. No work or service should be beneath us. And then there are other, I guess we could call them, worldly realities. It's almost like we have to do it. It's required. It's just the way things are in this world. But earthly rulers seek victories through strength. They're forever building up arsenals and armies and alliances to gain power and strength. It's kind of like almost like you got to do it. But Jesus worked to gain his victory for us in the very opposite way. Third attitude, Jesus let go of his legal status, humbling himself to his right to life, became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Had he been at that time and place self-centered, looking out after his own interests, he never would have died, or never would have let him die in that way. I'm always reminded of that hymn that's often sung around this season. He could have called 10,000 angels. The words go, he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. He died as a criminal on a cross. It was a death reserved for the lowest order of society. As a matter of fact, it was a kind of death that was even cursed by God. And the shame of that kind of death made many, including Paul in his earlier days, absolutely sure that Jesus could not be the Messiah, because certainly a Messiah would never have died like that. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And Jesus became like us so that we might become like him. He became a slave so that we might go free. Died that we might have life, all done to benefit us. Because Jesus took on our sins, God declared us to be sinless in his sight. And because Jesus paid for our guilt, we are set free. Our sins were charged to Christ, his righteousness credited to us. That's what the ride into Jerusalem was all about. He rode to bring life. Now, Paul says, we as Jesus' followers are to imitate his way. We're urged in our renewed lives to imitate that spirit of lowliness and humility that was basic to all of Jesus' acts for us. And we're called to give our lives and ourselves in humble service and unselfish love. There's been so many news stories that have come out of people, again, on those front lines serving people through this time dealing with this pandemic. One particular news item stood out to me as I heard it. Came out March 15th. This is the way the news item broke. Italian priest, 72-year-old Father Don Giuseppe Berardelli, suffering from the coronavirus, gave up his ventilator that his parishioners had purchased for him to give to a younger patient whom he did not know has died from coronavirus. What an amazing act of sacrifice. And so many people that kind of tweeted out, who knew this Catholic priest so well there in Italy, referenced this passage over and over, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. We've been hearing other similar stories of the sacrifices that people are making to be on those front lines to serve and to share. See, Jesus came to serve, yes. But here's the other thing we learn as we also continue reading in Philippians 2. Jesus' humiliation or his descent was not a permanent thing. It was only for a limited time. Because when Jesus' mission was completed, God exalted him to the highest place. We call that the exaltation of Christ. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. You see, Jesus taught that true greatness comes from service. He also taught that humility leads to exaltation. So as we reflect on the life of Christ, we also get a call for us. And rather than showing off who he was by choice, he took the form of a servant. Isaiah writes in our Old Testament reading for today in chapter 50 that the servant be given an instructed tongue and that his ears be opened. See, the servant needed an instructed tongue because he was going to speak the word of God to God's people. And the servant's ears needed to be open so he could hear and understand God's assurance to him to strengthen him for his mission. So Jesus' ears and spirit were fully open to the Father. The humility to listen and obediently follow for the benefit of others. I think we could almost sum it up by saying this. It's kind of look at it as mealtime for Jesus and for us. Jesus, in his obedience, ate from the plate and drank from the cup that was given to him by his Father. Jesus did not choose what he wanted to do like you would go through a buffet line. He humbly accepted what the Father put in front of him to eat and to drink. He humbly accepted. And also, this is the Christ the Father presents or hands to us. Christ in his humiliation, the one who comes to suffer and die for us, and Christ in his exaltation, the one who bodily rises from the dead to give us everlasting life and forgiveness. Accept what the Father has served you, and let this mind be in you. Allow this entire week to unfold and to reveal to you God's holiness and God's justice, as well as his mercy, his grace, and his love. Next Sunday, we celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But his bold ride, his bold descent, ends in rising and victory. So his ride on this day, it's for you. This ride was for you. Journey with Jesus this week and just grab a hold of and listen to, and may your heart be open to all that he wants to share with you this week, particularly through this time. We need something with this magnitude of hope and peace that we can grab a hold of. God bless you. God's peace. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.